Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 554. Happy New Year's Eve, everyone. I hope you have your holiday festivities in order for this week. It's like New Year's Eve is kind of, for restaurant and bar people, is kind of amateur night, I know. But so I tend to like to have something a little more stay at home or a small gathering of folks, and I don't know what I'm doing this year, but I hope you have yours all planned out or are ready for an adventure. But the new year is upon us, but we're still looking at the year that was, 2013. Here we're going to eke out some more about it in the last days of the year before we look forward to 2014. Very happy to have with us again in this week's show, Andrew Davis, the managing editor of Windy City Times, who provides the news every week for us here on the Queercast, and so appreciative of that. And one of my New Year's resolutions should be to be with Andrew more, and maybe we should go take a trip together when you have to take those single trips. I should take one with you.
I would love that.
I'm a different news media, even though we're the same news media. We can probably suss that out. And also our senior news writer, Matt Simonette. And thrilled to have him here with us as well.
Thank you.
Today we are going to be looking at world news and entertainment news in 2013. And to me, I really felt like this was a year that we were keeping up with the Joneses as a nation. I felt like there were some really huge and exciting news stories that were happening around the world on all the continents that impacted us. And, definitely there are places where we have to shine a light on, atrocities for LGBTQ people in some countries, but also some countries that are really setting the bar and that we have been able to take a bit of a, seen as a bit of an example for our own country. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
And let's look at the world. How was this year? What will this year be remembered about except for the continuing conversation about when the world is anticipating coming together for the big Olympics in Sochi, Russia.
It seems to have been,
you know, that has been the big story of will we go, won't we go? Will the athletes go, won't they go? Who will be the delegates, who won't be the delegates? And some of that information has come out in the past week. What world leaders will attend, what ones won't? Will there be a boycott? Will there not be a boycott? Give me a little insight into the story, because this only happens every 4 years, and the fact that GLBT people are now the focus, which they always seem to make us a wedge issue everywhere, now they're making us a wedge issue at the Olympics. Tell me about this story. Matt, you want to start off telling me a little bit about your take?
Much of this began in the summer when Russia put through a law that many have seen as being very oppressive to LGBT citizens there.
Basically, we call it the anti-gay propaganda
law,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you can't talk about gay things. You can't seem to be in support
it's
of
all
anything
under the guise
LGBT.
Of, it's all under the guise of protecting the children.
The little people.
But, you know, remember that in Russia, you know, police officers really can do what they want there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think already we've seen it has some disastrous effects for LGBT people there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once
you meaning like people being imprisoned or
you're seeing a lot of gay
bashing.
Gay bashing
is happening.
Yeah,
okay.
And,
some of this is being documented
organized.
Right on the web
right.
and on Facebook. And
right. And it's not a good time to be gay in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And so
so
really,
how about visiting there? How about coming there? How are they to...
Technically, people who visit there are subject to the...
Should comply.
Yeah, subject mm-hmm. to the laws there.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Although there have been certain people, like the actress mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton, who held up a rainbow flag mm-hmm. in Red Square.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And took a picture. Yeah, certain people have made statements, but yeah, by and large...
Yeah.
Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
Matt said, it's not good to be...
So what is the International Olympic Committee doing on this, on the IOC, and how are people feeling safeguarded? I mean, are there LGBT athletes going that are concerned or not going because they don't want to go?
Well, I know the IOC has told athletes that they cannot protest or make any sort of political statement while they're there.
It's a part of the Olympic code or something, right?
Right.
To keep the Olympics non-political.
Right.
Interesting. Interesting and ironic.
But then I started thinking mm-hmm. about that Black Power salute uh-huh. in the 1968 mm-hmm. Olympics mm-hmm. when the guys were standing on the platform and did the...
But it's come down to some athletes can't even paint their nails, like with
right.
rainbow flags or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
So where are we now? They've just announced delegates. We've got some queer delegates going from the U.S. We've got Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King. Yeah, there are a couple.
And a speed skater? I think it's a speed skater.
I think she's a hockey player.
Mm-hmm. Female yeah. hockey player. And then
well,
what would Brian Boitano do? We don't know who
what he's going to do.
But obviously, Johnny
Weir
mm-hmm. didn't qualify to go, so he's not going to be going. And then we found out that there was another... Perhaps it was in the news a couple weeks ago that there was a speed skater, I think, and he was 23rd or something.
Yeah,
so the
first,
openly gay.
He's from New Zealand. He's the
yes.
first alternate. So mm-hmm. I think there are 32 who qualify. He was 33rd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Blake, and I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he... Yeah.
So, and world leaders are saying, I mean, this is one of the first times that...
Obama,
Biden's.
Yeah.
Right. And I know the president of France has said he's not going to go, and there's another.
And France just had gay marriage. I mean, this has been, mm-hmm. it was a big year for France
yeah.
around
mm-hmm.
gay
yeah.
marriage. I mean, that was a big world story this year,
mm-hmm.
the controversy,
yeah.
because
there was
a lot of push.
There was some massive protest, yeah, in France. There was one, it was like 100,000 people,
mm-hmm.
he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's a pretty
and yet
didn't somebody like didn't somebody kill themselves like in Notre Dame Cathedral over
yeah.
there or something like that. I can't remember.
It's interesting
yeah.
because it has
like
felt like hearing the story in France play out. It felt a little more to me like the civil rights courage that it took, with the people in power saying we're doing this because it's the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and even if the general public wasn't caught up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it feels like in our own country, we kind of waited to the majority of the general public would be caught up to it
mm-hmm.
before, even with DOMA.
It's frustrating seeing that, too, because, yeah, you see a whole country
mm-hmm.
pass something. I mean, South Africa has had it for how long?
Yes.
And here we are going state by state. So,
yeah,
yeah, I can see how that would frustrate some people.
Yeah. Speaking of South Africa, the passing of Nelson Mandela,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he feels like he's any oppressed community's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
That he was obviously an advocate of LGBT people
mm-hmm.
and for that country's very progressive stance on a lot of social issues. That was an enormous passing this year. Any other big world leaders or world figures that...
Well, of course, we have to touch upon the Pope.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good old Francis.
Yes.
So, of course, you know, Pope Benedict XVI. Unexpectedly resigned,
mm-hmm.
and
that was even controversially, perhaps around the Vatican scandals.
Lot of speculation about that.
We'll see.
A lot of juice around that, as they say.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Yeah, so Francis from Argentina became Pope, and, you know, he distinguished himself. In July, he was talking with a group of reporters, and he said, you know, that gay people should not be judged. He was like, who am I to judge gay people? You know, which, of course, LGBT people around the world embrace. But he's had this really interesting effect in general with Catholics. I mean, more Catholics are reportedly going to church, not going to mass, and yeah, he's just been
a
rock
Jesuit,
star for them.
You know, he's of the Jesuits. So it's really interesting. That's a very different, service oriented and of the people oriented, and I think that's been the problem that we've. I think you were saying this in the last show, Matt, of like now with even our young people. How they can't, you know, the communication devices and the access we have now to information and being connected with Facebook and internet, you know, it's an old idea to have a religious leader who's not trying to connect on a community-wide level, and it would take maybe a Jesuit to kind of understand that. So, like, whether or not he's tweeting, I don't know if he's doing that, but he's, you know, he's not walking around in the tiny little car, you know, and he's touching people, and he's speaking to actual people who are living
lives.
I mean,
they're calling him the people's pope. Yeah, it's very interesting.
On TV, I saw him described as the first pope you feel would give you a ride to the airport.
Yeah, that's interesting. But
yeah, I mean, he's made such an impression that Time magazine selected him as its person of the year, but so did The Advocate.
Interesting.
The
National Monthly Gay Magazine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that has caused some controversy.
Who would you think should have been the person of the year?
I mean, for The Advocate?
Yes.
That's a good question. I didn't.
I mean, is it the Supreme Court?
Yeah, it would have to be, I would think someone connected with what happened with DOMA would be a good start.
Edie Windsor,
The Advocate considered Edie Windsor, who was number three on Time's list.
Yes.
Actually, after the Pope and Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
But The Advocate said that it was something like, although she did make an impact, it wasn't just her. She was part of a group of people, so that's why.
Right, not just an individual.
Right.
Not just an individual. Interesting. What are the other world stories besides our Pope and the Olympics, which are coming up?
Barilla Pasta.
Buddy.
Oh. Yes.
Poor man. Sometimes these guys are just, you know, they just step in it. Luckily, he wanted to step back out of it besides, like, unlike the Chick-fil-A guy.
That was
so the controversy was that Barilla Pasta said they would never have a same-sex couple in an ad, and then that leaked out, and then now he basically wants to come to all our holiday parties, right? Because we eat so much carbs and pasta, as Andrew sits here and eats a bowl of pasta.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's the largest pasta manufacturer in the world, I think. I think they make more, especially in the U.S.
I think so, yeah.
For U.S. distribution.
So, yeah, after Guido said that, then he went,
He's not being racist.
Exactly. Don't send me letters.
It's not really a race. He's not being countryist, whatever it is.
But he met with some Italian LGBT organizations. Mm-hmm. He apologized, and he also suggested some pro-gay policies. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Although I am so looking forward to the Olympics and see what happens.
I think the Olympics are going to be a really, you know, it's going to be a big story for 2014, but, you know, we're already gearing up. I just heard Katy Perry's roar on some of the television ads, so now we know what the theme song's going to be. I started thinking, God, did Katy Perry, like, kind of write that line in of I'm a champion just so she could be, like, the, you know, the NBC Olympic song? But there she is, if she did. Hats off to her, man. Hats off to her that she sussed that out beforehand. Well, we've got the world of entertainment, which is always one of the favorite things to look back on because we are you excited? He's not excited.
I never watch any TV.
Matt's not excited at all. So Andrew and I will talk, and Matt will hold the recorder and eat his chicken sandwich.
I wish this was visual because you would have seen the look.
Matt
on
is our very serious news guy, and if he wasn't here, we would float off into the ether of pop culture, and you know it would be like Andrew Davis, Amy Thiene, and Andy Cohen. I'd be talking about The Real Housewives and how, you know, Brandy and her new housewife on this year, like, probably going to have the hookup. Yeah. can't remember her name, Carmen Carlotta. I can't remember my name.
Something like that.
Anyhow, I love it. It's cracking me up. All right, well, we're at the World of Entertainment. But before that, let's tell you what's going on in entertainment and the culture club, the art scene and theater scene here in Chicago, and also what's going on in the news this week as we take you to the year of entertainment 2013 when we return.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. The National Queer Asian Pacific Islander Alliance delivered more than 2,700 postcards to members of the U.S. House of Representatives last month as part of a stepped-up lobbying campaign to push for immigration reform legislation. In meetings with at least five House members, a contingent of activists from the alliance urged the lawmakers to push for a compromise immigration reform bill the Senate passed in July. The bipartisan bill the Senate passed, among other things, calls for a path to citizenship for a 13-year period for the 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the United States.
Transgender Commissioner Chai Feldblum was confirmed for a second term to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The Senate approved Feldblum for 54-41.
The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, or VA, informed former Army Sergeant Earl Rector and Alan Rodriguez it could not guarantee a home loan for which they had been pre-approved. The VA told the couple it doesn't count the income of a non-veteran spouse in states like Texas, which don't recognize same-sex marriages. Rector and Rodriguez are now trying to get the financing back on track to avoid a breach of contract if they can't buy the house.
As a part of the U.S. Department of Education's ongoing efforts to implement inclusive policies that reflect the diversity of the country's families and consistent with the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on Section 3 of DOMA in United States versus Windsor, the department announced new guidance on the use of marriage and spouse in the federal student aid programs, including on the completion of FAFSA, the federal student aid form.
The American Journal of Public Health released a preview of a study entitled Research Funded by the National Institutes of Health on the Health of Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Populations that highlights the national gaps in LGBT health research. Findings show only 0.5% of the abstracts have any mention of LGBT terms, and of that small number, only 18% are on topics beyond sexual health or HIV. Also, of the 628 total LGBT studies, only 14% examined lesbian health issues, only 10% mentioned youth health issues, and less than 1% mentioned LGBT elder health issues.
GLSEN has announced the completion of its three-year Safe Space campaign to distribute a GLSEN Safe Space kit to every middle and high school in the country, a total of 63,000 schools. The kit includes GLSEN Safe Space posters and stickers, as well as a 42-page guide to being an ally to LGBT students. Nearly 100,000 kits and 1 million stickers were distributed to schools as part of the program.
In world news, Ana Lopez has sued the United States in Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, Officer Garcia, for the death of her gay son, Nelson Javier Avila Lopez, claiming the United States illegally deported him to months of torture and death in a Honduran prison. Lopez claims her son had a stay of deportation through counsel, but ICE deported him anyway to Honduras, where he was thrown, without formal charges, into the notorious Comayagua prison, where he suffered unspeakable torture for nearly 4 months alongside the sadistic criminals that he sought to escape.
In Ireland, a study shows that almost 80% of transgendered people there have considered suicide and 44% have attempted suicide at least once. The study, Speaking from the Margins, is the first on mental health in the Irish trans community and was conducted by Transgender Equality Network Ireland. It is based on a survey of 164 participants.
A male prostitute was jailed for more than 18 years for killing a British gay man and leaving his body to rot. Ricardo Pisano, 36, killed 62-year-old Michael Polding in Brighton last year. He was convicted of manslaughter and causing actual bodily harm. Pisano was arrested in May after a global manhunt for him.
A coalition of celebrities launched Uprising of Love, a social movement dedicated to supporting the Russian Freedom Fund, which works for long-term systemic change in the status and treatment of Russia's LGBT community. More than 50 celebrities are a part of the coalition, including Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, James Franco, Edward Norton, Jim Parsons, Julianne Moore, Chris Colfer, Zachary Quinto, and more. At a private fundraiser, Uprising of Love co-founder Melissa Etheridge previewed her new song, Uprising of Love, which honors and supports Russia's LGBT community.
In entertainment news, openly gay actor Sir Ian McKellen recently revealed that he doesn't think his Hobbit character Gandalf is gay. He said of Gandalf, "He's 7,000 years old, and he doesn't seem to be interested in sex, and I would leave it at that. All his friends are male in these films, with the exception of Galadriel, but that's more on Tolkien than it is on Gandalf. I don't think sexuality is part of his makeup."
Billboard named Bruno Mars its top overall artist for 2013. The singer's year included a number one hit with When I Was Your Man and a top five hit with Treasure. His sophomore album, Unorthodox Jukebox, was released late last year and has sold more than 1.8 million units, making it the second best-selling album of the year behind Timberlake's The 2020 Experience.
Openly gay gold medalist Greg Louganis called for the U.S. Olympic athletes to dedicate their performance at the Winter Games in Sochi, Russia, to gay and lesbian friends and relatives. Louganis, who married his partner in October, said he remains against a boycott of the Games because he believes it would hurt the wrong people, or elite athletes who have trained their whole lives for a shot to participate.
Peter Gabriel, Hall & Oates, Kiss, Nirvana, Linda Ronstadt, and Cat Stevens will be honored at the 29th Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony April 10th, 2014. The event will take place at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum in Cleveland, Ohio will also open a special exhibit on 2014 inductees in conjunction with the 2014 ceremony.
And Adele has topped the list of Amazon.com's best-selling albums of all time. The star's 2011 album, 21, leads the list after impressive digital and physical sales on the online retailer over the past 3 years. Susan Boyle's debut, I Dreamed Dream, is in second place, while the original Broadway cast recording of Wicked is in third. Daft Punk's Random Access Memories has been crowned the best-selling CD on Amazon.com in 2013, while Tegan and Sarah's Heartthrob topped the best-selling MP3 album of 2013 list. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cyndi Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 30th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Prepare for a jolly good night out at Chicago Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. Chicago Sun-Times praises it as warm-hearted, exuberantly acted production. Chicago Now says the Merry Wives themselves are Lucy and Ethel perfection in this comedy classic that has all the glee of the season. The Merry Wives of Windsor is playing now through January 19th. More at chicagoshakes.com.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents the 17th annual Filet of Solo Festival, Chicago's premier celebration of solo performance, storytelling, and live lit. It runs Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays now through the 19th of January at multiple venues in Rogers Park. For more, visit lifelinetheater.com. Don't miss the 17th annual Filet of Solo Festival.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
I like being by myself. Don't gotta entertain anybody else. No one to answer to. But sometimes I just want somebody to hold. Someone to give me the jacket when it's cold. Got that young love even when we're old. Yeah, sometimes I want someone to grab my hand. Pick me up, pull me close, be my man. I will love you till the end. So if you're out there, ask.
All right, so Matt, you are so not interested in this conversation, so eat your wrap along.
I'll chime in if
it's good. And see, you know what Matt does? Matt, well, he's a news writer, so it's, you know, he's interested in the serious news, and I appreciate that. But, you know, Matt, you defy the stereotype that all gay men, and I consider myself a gay man.
That you are.
I am
actually,
such a gay man. As Andrew just gives Andrew just gave me a Barbara Streisand Blu-ray DVD. I mean, you know, how many gay men could he know to give it to? But he gives it to me. He knows me so well. But that you defy the stereotype and you shatter it that all we're interested in is fluff and pop culture. But,
except I do like sports as well. I follow sports.
And see, that's because you're a little lesbian. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Let's just get the cards on the table. Labels don't matter.
I consider that an honor.
I agree. So, well, I'll just say it because this year in entertainment, television, movies, music, what were you most excited about? Do you have some favorite things of the year that would be LGBT?
Well...
because I have a few, and I want to hear what yours are, and then we'll go from there.
Uh-oh. Well,
we'll trade off. You do one, I do one.
It was arguably... I mean, of course, a lot of people made news, like Miley Cyrus and the twerking. May it rest in peace.
Yeah. Not that anything about that is queer-tastic. It's about as heterotastic as you can possibly get.
Although it was gay men who started that.
Twerking?
Yeah.
Well, then that's it. But that's because that's what, you know, like Madonna took the voguing.
Vogue. Yeah.
And, you know, it was Madonna's. It was like, no, bitch, it was some black men in Harlem, you know, like having some balls with some balls, you know.
Exactly. I mean,
we are the trendsetters, if we can just say that. But of interest to the LGBTQ community, big year for Liberace.
Yes.
HBO films making the Behind the Candelabra, where two straight men who are two of the, you know, biggest stars of their time, Michael Douglas and Matt Damon. Playing Liberace and his lover, Scott, I can't remember his last name.
Scott Thorson.
And, you know, won all these awards. I mean, really an amazing...
I know, and it's slated to win more awards next year because it got Screen Actors Guild nods, it got Golden Globe nods, so
Yeah, I feel like television is really where our LGBTQ lives are most able to seep into the home and break down barriers and boundaries. And, of course, we've still got, you know, Ellen on television. Queen Latifah is on television now. We won't say what she is or isn't, but she's on.
I'm just looking off.
Hey, you can't sue anybody. These are my opinions. We have, you know, Modern Family still at the top of its game, having two great episodes this past fall where they allowed Kim and Mitchell are going to get married in this season, but they dealt with Prop 8 and the things we talked about in our last podcast. The California law with Prop 8 happening through the Supreme Court. But I definitely thought, too, you know, this was a great year for television with some series. Orange is the New Black, not only for women, for queer or fluid, I guess you'd say, or flexible women, women of color, just to see really the feminism of that show and the humanity of that show is so groundbreaking in so many levels, and also based on a top-selling novel, memoir, you know, where a woman is poised to get married, has to go back to prison for something old that she did when she was in a lesbian relationship. So definitely dealing with queer women, you know, on that show in massive numbers, and women of color, which is very unusual that we're seeing
crazy
that.
Ass.
Crazy ass. Great acting. I thought that show was a huge revelation for the year. And to me, it was like the year of the lesbian. So if you got anything gay besides Liberace, hit it for me. Anything you want to throw
That's
into
like the
pot?
Chinese restaurant, the year of
it
the lesbian.
It is.
I know.
It is. It's
year
like
of the
year.
Dragon, year of the lesbian.
It is the year of the lesbian. It really is, because I think also Jodie Foster's Golden Globe speech, I'm 50, that was kind of crazy, but kind of saying I've always been out, was a huge moment for somebody who, you know, everybody said, well, you know, Anderson Cooper finally kind of came out, but Jodie Foster still hasn't come out, you know, and... But now she kind of has or hasn't, or has, or said she never was in.
She's more out than she was, but yeah. Well, I think, of course, Neil Patrick Harris, you know, hosting the Tonys and the Emmys. He hosted the Tonys, I think, for the fourth time in 5 years.
Right.
The Emmys were weird, though.
Yeah, they were sad.
They were sad,
They
yes.
were sad and dark and macabre, and it was like...
Lots of obits.
Yes. It felt a little like we lived too much in memoriam and looking back and on a night that should have been more fun.
Or they should have just grouped them all together, but it would be like they would have a... They would present awards and it would be in memoriam. And then, because they have five people they singled out.
I honestly think if they had done that, I think that the venue of having somebody like Edie Falco speak about James Gandolfini, I think that would have worked if the rest of the show had been fun. I don't think it was that high that they had to lift it up, but the rest of the stuff was just really serious too and not very fun, you know? So, yeah. But they were produced by Craig Zaden and Neil Maron, the gay men, you know, who do the Tonys, I think, had done the Tonys and did, like, the movie Chicago and things like that. So the gays were behind the scenes. So gays, make it gay. Make
it
fun.
I did Sound of Music, too, the Sound of Music.
I was just going to ask you, what did you think of the Sound of Music live?
I haven't watched it yet. It's in my TiVo queue. Mitchell and I are going to watch it. I think we're going to have to kick off 2013 watching it, because I have not
seen it.
You're
going to have to cover that in the podcast.
Okay, we will. Yeah. Mitchell and I will do almost a live podcast during it. We'll try to figure that out. I haven't seen it yet.
My goodness, looking at social media, it was just a range.
I can't speak to it. But it did know it got great ratings, and it may mean that there's going to be another one, and I'm
and
all
it's
for
it's out on DVD now.
And they're going to be re-airing of it. I'm really all for more and more people getting to have access to musical theater and theater because there's a socioeconomic aspect that denies a lot of people getting to see theater and understand musical theater. And I don't know, the Sound of Music is obviously one of the most popular musicals of all time, so that's a good one, but I think there's a lot of other great musicals to have people get to see, and I think that's really exciting, whether they do Showboat or whether they do, you know, there's a lot of different shows they could do that might have some more diversity. I also think a really interesting thing, because I like to reach out to the Brits, and Downton Abbey's about to start up again. I know there's not really, I mean, Downton Abbey's just gay because it's just gay. It's British and beautiful and, you know, long and, you know.
I love that
like
show.
Those Merchant Ivory things. But this cute show called Last Tango in Halifax, which I really loved, a 6-part miniseries that had an older lesbian couple kind of storyline, and I really loved it this year. I thought that was a nice little surprise. And as I say, it's the year of the lesbian. I really just mean it's, I think, the year of women defining for themselves, whether later in life or when I'm in prison, I might be attracted to this woman, or when I might be getting married to this man, this neurotic Jewish man when I get out. I don't understand that. That's a huge leap for me. But I think, you know, really interesting article written by Maria Bello here at the end in her the Modern Love column that's always interesting every Sunday in the New York Times. Maria Bello, the actress from Coyote Ugly. And
she was on the Prime Suspect TV series.
She was on the Prime Suspect TV series. One of my favorite movies is with her and Liam H. Macy called The Cooler, that I think is just one of the best movies ever made about Vegas, and smart and funny, and Liam H. Macy's amazing. And then she was in History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen. I mean, she's got some great movies. Yeah. Came out and said, you know, after the age of 40, that she's talked about how to tell her 12-year-old son from a previous marriage that, you know, she was now with one of her best friends as a woman, and doesn't want to feel labeled, or doesn't feel like she's been denying something her whole life, but this is just who she's fallen in love with. And, you know, talks about this new modern family, and I think we're kind of seeing that. I think that's almost the influence of the young people, talking about how this gay marriage in the U.S. or around the world is going to affect young people. You know, I've noticed for years how they've, and Mitchell and I talked about this, how they've been avoiding labels. They don't want to be labeled. We started adding all these other QI letters because they don't identify as gay, or they don't identify as lesbian. And now we're seeing women 40 or older people be able to, more mature people be able to say, you know, I don't feel like I'm denying anything. This is who I fell in love with. You know, the love is love kind of acronym, which used to scare us, I think, as gay people, that it felt like it was a choice. With Cynthia Nixon kind of said this a couple of years ago, and some others. It's primarily been women, but then with some of these new young male athletes and young men that are coming out too, even Frank Ocean, I think it's less about like I'm gay. It's just like I had a relationship. It was with a man. Well, that's what I'm going to write about in my hip hop song. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting because there are are members of our community,
right,
who feel like there's no such thing as bisexual if you have to put a label on.
Sin, who's been on our show a ton, you know, who's...
And the people who feel like, oh, you have to make a choice, or people who are bisexual are undecided.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's not as simple as
Jack
that.
And Sin have been saying whenever I do bisexual podcasts all the time, like, why do I have to decide? Why do I have to say? Why does it make me... And as I said to Mitchell a few shows ago, I said, now we're all going to go, oh, yeah, we're just going to co-opt this thing that the bis have been saying and marginalize them even more. That, you know, you haven't been saying this, but now we're saying this. We're glad we discovered this new concept within our, you know, identification strata, right? You know?
Exactly. But other people did come out. Wentworth Miller, of course.
God, he's gorgeous. Y'all got a good one on your team, man.
I
think he's so pretty.
I remember him from that Mariah Carey video, although he was also the lead in that Prison Break television series.
Yeah, and he played Anthony Hopkins. He played Anthony Hopkins in that movie where Anthony Hopkins was actually black. And he played, but was a fair-skinned black man, and Wentworth Miller played him as a young man. And that was, I remembered seeing him in that. That was the first thing I ever saw him in. He's so beautiful.
But, yeah, he sent a letter because they wanted him to participate in the St. Petersburg Film Festival.
Yeah, in Russia.
And he said, as a gay man,
I can't. Yeah, he was one, came out because of that,
and
anti-gay.
Yeah, he came out at, was he 40?
Yeah, he's, I think that's right.
So, Raven Simone.
Yes.
You know, through the world of Twitter. Jason Collins, of course, the basketball player, who came out in Sports Illustrated. And was the first active NBA player or active athlete in any of the big four sports to come out.
Yeah, and he's been a great advocate. Also, Magic Johnson's son coming out, which is not an, he's not an athlete, but, I mean, attached to one of the most beloved athletes of all time in any sport.
So that was, that was pretty cool to see all these people come out. Clive Davis came out as bi in his memoir. So, and Clive Davis, music
huge
industry executive. He signed Whitney Houston, Bruce Springsteen.
Right, music maker, really. So, I mean, really, one of the guys that has shepherded and made sure you've had some of the greatest musical acts of all time.
And, you know, since we're talking about music, we also had someone local, Steve Grand.
Mm-hmm.
Really made it on the scene.
He's the gay cowboy, the hunky gay cowboy, so
he
to
had
speak.
A song,
country music singer.
All American Boy.
Yes.
And it was really great to see. So I don't know, someone like that blossom, at least from a local level to more of a national stage. He was at the March on Springfield.
And also, like, his YouTube video became just this YouTube sensation, that one song where he was, you know, he was out in that song and.
And he misunderstood signals from the other guy. So that was, Now, I guess on the flip side, there was Michelle Schacht, who, you know, and in San Francisco, of all places, to go on an anti-gay rant, that was a little weird. But she, apparently, I guess she came out in Outlines, came out as bi in Outlines back in 95.
Okay.
And for her to just go on this anti-gay, and then she tried to have the video removed from YouTube. That doesn't work.
It's hard. You can't remove anything once it's out there, really.
Like,
really, it can't go away.
So, yeah, that was, for lack of a better word, shocking.
And then did we lose any entertainers this year? I mean, I'm sure we did.
We lost. Lost quite a few. Of course, there was Corey Monteith.
Oh, right, from Glee. He'd been such a huge advocate for kids who were being bullied or for GLBT kids. And because he played the, you know, the stepbrother of Kurt on that show, Kurt Hummel.
It was just so weird. I mean, because he had just gone into rehab.
Yeah.
So, and he ended up, it was a combination, I believe, of heroin and alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was just so sad. He was 31.
Yeah.
And you mentioned James Gandolfini earlier. He actually played gay in the movie. He was a gay hitman in The Mexican.
Yes, with Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And of course, locally, we lost Roger Ebert.
Yes.
Who, he was pretty much Chicago movies. He and Gene Siskel.
Royalty,
yeah.
Nationally, internationally, I really
But
think.
Let me ask you, who would you say is the entertainer of the year? It doesn't have to be someone who's LGBT. Maybe someone who, you know, who the community followed, but...
You know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like in some ways it was, you know, in some ways it was this year of like the Katy Perry versus Lady Gaga battle. And I just, I'm so offended by the fact that we just continue to have to pit women against women. You know, I mean, when would we ever do that with two male acts? I mean, we're not like pitting, you know, one Republic against Maroon 5, or we're not pitting against, you know, it's so much sexism. And, you know, and they're such different artists. I mean, I don't think Lady Gaga ever thought she would be this mass consumed, loved by the mat, you know, like she'd be mainstream. I mean, she doesn't want to be mainstream. There's something about her that's mainstream. It was so radical that she was almost mainstream with her debut album, right? Whereas I think Katy Perry is mainstream. I mean, you know, she comes from this Christian music background and is fun and playful and a California girl, and it's yeah, that whole kind of thing, you know. But to pit these two women against each other, whatever. But I do feel like it's been the year of kind of a of these women singers, women artists, you know, with Art Pop and with Katy Perry's album, and then Beyonce dropping her album.
Beyonce would be my pick.
The Mrs. Carter tour.
Because, I mean, even at the beginning of the year with that whole lip sync controversy at Obama's inauguration, and then she performed at the Super Bowl, and then she had a documentary, and then this album with the marketing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
and I
it
just
was
saw
a
her last
move.
Week. I just saw, or I saw her when she was here at the United Center.
Did she swing by your place?
She swung by my place. You know, Miss Carter, she came over. I mean, I just think these kind of powerful, you know, pop women are definitely leading the way and showing the men how it's done. And I just think that there's room for all of them. You know what I mean? I feel like there's not a reason to make one have to be the other one, or they don't have the same story to tell. They're not trying to tell it in the same way. Not one of those three women, you know? And I think because I'm protective of Gaga, because I think she's the most queer and the most of our world, and whether we all like this album as much as the one before or whatever, you know, I just feel like, you know, she was on the Voice finale, you know, last week.
She duetted with Christina,
and Christina made a point of like saying, you know, there's not a more down-to-earth person that you'll ever meet. And, you know, having spent time with Lady Gaga before everybody else knew her, a gay idol in 2008 for a couple of hours in our dressing room backstage at Circuit Nightclub, one-on-one.
It's a shame you don't remember
extremely,
it.
She's extremely down-to-earth. I mean, that's how I experienced her here. And she's kind of now a Chicago girl since they're shooting Chicago Fire, and her boyfriend is the lead in that. So anyhow, I don't know. I think that those women are kind of the artists of the year right now. You know, Beyonce probably has the most power, with Katy Perry having the second most. But I think they all have something to say for young women and blurring lines in the real way, not the way Robin Thicke did this year. Although I do like Robin Thicke an awful lot. But I loved him before Blurred Lines. So I would say that's who I think are some of the more powerful entertainers. And
yeah,
I think Tom Hanks has had an extraordinary year. I think it would yet to be seen with Saving Mr. Banks and, you know, with Saving Mr. Banks and also
and
with Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
But when does Tom Hanks not have a good year? But, you know. But I would say it was a big year for him.
No, I would tend to agree with you about the women. I think the women definitely were in the spotlight more. I mean, singers, actresses, Sandra Bullock, you kept hearing about her with Gravity and The Heat. And
yeah.
The Heat is hilarious. I thought it was hilarious anyway. With Melissa McCarthy.
Uncomfortably hilarious, yes. for sure.
So it was... Yeah, I would definitely agree it was the year of the woman.
But I definitely think that, you know, we've had great strides, again, in LGBT people, our stories being more mainstream, and people telling them or the stories that impact us. Blue is the warmest color, getting all this attention, which is not really a lesbian film. But once again, if it's love is love and it's two women.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
And then, Dallas Buyers Club with Matthew McConaughey.
Jared
he's not
Leto,
gay,
yeah.
But Jared Leto playing a trans character and, mm-hmm. and winning some awards for that as well and being nominated for other awards. I just think our stories are getting told more and more, mm-hmm. and it's we're just becoming a part of the fabric of the world, of the world at large, so therefore we kind of usually access that through the world of entertainment, and it's why I think, the entertainment is so important. So I'm looking forward to some, it's the high holidays for us as gays, the Golden Globes coming up and the Oscars and all of that, so I love that. I love January, I love the top of the year, and we'll definitely have an Oscars show with our Golden Globe show. Mitchell and I will probably do the Golden Globes and have Richard Knight Jr. with us on the Oscars, and so all that we'll be looking forward to in January. I do have to say that our lovely Miss Cleo is off on a spiritual sabbatical, and so she will not be on to give us some predictions of the year ahead, so I may just rub a crystal ball. Okay. Or some Benoit balls, I don't know, something, and try to see what possibly, the future may hold.
I'm glad you took that joke.
Thank you.
I did.
Yeah. I just took it. It was easy. It was right there. I just grabbed it. But anyhow, I always appreciate having this year, looking back 2013 with you, Andrew and Matt. I'm so excited that even though you've been quiet here in entertainment segment. I mean, you are watching, you said House of Cards, and you have told me that there's a little queer-tastic thing that's about to happen. So, you've contributed that to my entertainment
that's
culture,
about,
which I appreciate.
Yeah, I'm a cut the cord type one, so it's Netflix and rabbit ears for me.
I like it. Well, Netflix, I honestly think Netflix may have been this year's Entertainer of the Year.
Could be.
Mentioning the new way we're watching movies. They had two new television series, both that have been nominated or garnered enormous amounts of awards.
It also had Arrested Development, right?
Arrested Development, mm-hmm. yeah. And they've got other new things that are coming out. So Netflix, that might be. You see, you may have the most knowledge. When you can really get it consolidated and concentrated, you'll just have the gem. It's like the little pearl that comes out of that one shell, one oyster. Matt Simonette is the new senior news writer for Windy City Times. You can read him in Windy City Times or online. Download our paper every week. And Andrew Davis, our managing editor, making sure it all gets to you. Doing award-winning news reporting now for, good Lord, how many years? We're coming up on 30, aren't we? I think
which is weird because I'm only 29.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. We started doing it out of the womb. So we appreciate you picking up our paper. Definitely pick up the issues so you'll hear a lot of these news stories or download our issues if you don't live in the Chicago area at WindyCityMediaGroup.com. Happy New Year, everyone. Be safe. Look out for other people. Take cabs or public transportation, but I hope you have a wonderful time ringing out the old and bringing in the new. So Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Dear no one, this is your love song.